be certain about the answer as to how and why something was going to happen in Daniel chapter 11, verse 41. Now, you don't have Daniel 11, 41, and if you have your Bibles, that's fine, but if you don't, that's fine too, because I'm going to read it to you. Now, what I'm going to present to you tonight, I consider to be very, very important. And I want to make it as simple and as straightforward as I possibly can. I've wanted to know the answer to this for 40 years. You can always know when the Bible says something's going to happen, it will happen. But when Daniel got over that last chapter, he said, "Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." I don't think that's just talking about knowledge of weaponry. It is talking about that. I think it means all kind of knowledge that only God knew, and I think it includes his creation. Things start to happen in it. But I never have been able to figure out, how close can I get to this? Because I know it's going to happen. He said, "Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Something happened yesterday that gave me an answer to a question that I have been wanting to know the answer to for 40 years. Now, I have written about it. I haven't misinterpreted it. Some of the reasons I gave are still valid. They'll work fine. Some of the others I'm not going to talk about. But I am going to talk about this one because I have a great confidence in what I'm about to tell you, and it will help us to understand that this thing is really, honestly, close. I mean, it's not something that's a long way off in a far distant future, and I'm certain of it. You say, "Well, that doesn't tell us much." Well, it tells me, and it's the reason I think that Obama's going to get out of office and protect his legacy. And we're not going to have a war until after he leaves office. But we're going to have a lot of killing over there before he leaves office. As a matter of fact, we're already getting it. So I'm going to be talking about that. Now, I want you to notice on this diagram, right down here where it says J-O-R-D-A-N. You see that little thing down there that's pretty big back here and got a little thing that sticks over here and goes over and touches Iraq? It also touches Syria. That little thing down there is Jordan. To me, this is absolutely amazing, and I was amazed when I saw it 40 years ago. Daniel wrote his prophecies between 500 and 600 B.C., if you find a map from that time period, I don't care which company puts it out, it will fit in this diagram perfectly. In the bottom part, you will have what is known as Edom, which was also called Esau. And above it, you will see Moab, just above it. And believe it or not, when Daniel wrote his prophecies, Jordan stretched out just like that little bunch, that little thing, and it went over into the Arabian desert. I like to deal in things that are factual. And I don't like to fudge. I don't like to do things that would wound my conscience because I say I'm fudging or something. And I have to admit, in my ministry a couple of times, I've fudged. But God bothered me, and I just changed what I fudged when I discovered I was wrong. Now, Jordan is about to start a war over there on terrorists. And they're going to get other Arab nations to fight them, to fight terrorists. Now, get a good look down there at that little thing, because we'll go back to it. This is right up to date. Now, I admit this is complicated, but I did all that I could to make it as plain as possible. I was very methodical, very careful, and I want to describe that area that I've got inside that black line I put around it, and in the middle of it, I've got ISIS. Now, in case anybody asks you when that first came out, I didn't have any idea how to pronounce that, so I said, well, ISIS. I just happened to be right. I felt like ISIS. Then they came out and said it was ISIL. I said, well, that's okay, but it's ISIL or ISIS, either one. Now, in this area that you see here, go back down there with that thing, Jordan down at the bottom, down to the southwest, and there's that little thing that sticks in there that was Ammon. See that? See this other thing we had over here that stuck in there and hit Iraq? That goes right up there and that hits ISIS, which has taken over that section of Iraq, which is the section down to the south of it. Now, ISIS is going to be whipped, and the Arab nations will whip them, but they won't wipe them out. I want you to look down here on the bottom, the very bottom, and I'm going to take my time on this, so forgive me, but if I keep you over, I don't want to, but I'm going to do the best I can, because I think if you'll watch this, you'll see it's happening. Matter of fact, it's happening right now. Current control. This is as current as you can get it. This is this week. You've got, listen, when you get home, if you've got a color computer, type up in that little box up at the top, Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. I've talked a lot about that Levant, because I did a lot of research on that thing, and that was greater Syria. Just type that in that little box, and this thing will come up in color. I don't have color. It'll come up on my machine in color, and I can look up at it and copy around the shades and tints of this. But look at these terrorist groups down here. Iraq, this is what you've got in these places. You've got ISIS. You've got I guess it'd be better to go up here and look up at these. Just over here, go down from Jordan. Controlled by the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. That's ISIS. Controlled by al-Nusra. That's another terrorist group in Syria. Controlled by other Syrian rebels. That's a bunch of people you can't trust them as far as you can throw them. Controlled by the Syrian government. That's Assad's bunch. They're all terrorists. Controlled by the Iraqi government. You think that the Iraqi government likes us? None of them like us. Controlled by the Syrian Kurds. Now, those are my buddies. I met some of them. And I can understand people going over there and fighting alongside of them. They are up here in the northwestern corner, and they're just barely holding their own. Controlled by Iraqi Kurds up here. But this ISIS controls all of northwestern Iraq, goes all the way down to where Jordan touches it, and it goes all the way over into northern Syria, and they have finally driven them out of the border town. Now, what's going to happen? Well, I know that the Antichrist is going to come down from the north. And I know that the Bible says that there's going to be a period of time where there's a little bit of peace. But I have always said that Israel would be pushed into the Negev, but I have never told you the exact date because I don't know it. I do not know exactly when the war is going to start. Never have. But I started several years ago guessing around 1600, and that doesn't look like it's going to be too bad, but I still can't tell you exactly when, but I will guarantee you this. It could start before Obama gets out of office. I doubt if it will. I think Obama is trying to protect his legacy. Now, I don't know what you think of Obama, but I have absolutely no respect for him whatsoever. None. Period. And I was glad to see a black man elected to the presidency. I didn't mind that at all. But the only objection I had to him was he was a novice. And I put that out repeatedly. He wasn't qualified to be president. And he's a dreamer. And he's one of the worst liberals I have ever seen in my life. He's got one thing in mind. I don't want anything to happen over there till after I'm gone. And if you don't think those people over there realize that, I've got a Cadillac outside, a brand new, and I'll sell you for $200. I'm telling you, he knows. He's got one thing in mind. He wanted to share the wealth from the beginning. Jesus said, "The poor ye have with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always." And the dream of liberals has always been to share the wealth, make everybody equal. And I guarantee you, if you took all the money on this earth right now and could actually possibly give it, every family had an equal amount, and the world lasted another 40 years, I guarantee you it would be distributed just like it is now, because the ones who got rich were smarter than the ones who didn't and worked harder. And the Lord said, "You have them with you always, and you always will." So I'm just telling you what I believe and why I believe it. But now here, down here on this ISIS, do you think that they are going to actually go in there and possess all that? Do you think the Jordanians, they'll get others to join them. There will be other kings that join them. And they will give the ISIS and those terrorist groups, they're going to give them what for? I guess I sound like Andy, whatever his name is. And they'll give them what for? And they'll whip them. And they'll decide, okay, that's enough. And they'll settle in over there and say, okay. And then up in that area where they have really blasted them, there'll be so many people up there that hate them for doing it, that the Antichrist will collect a northern section of kings, and he will suddenly attack Israel from the north, and they won't be expecting it. So what am I saying? I want to make this crystal clear because I want you to hold me to it. I don't think that what I have just described is going to be finished while Obama is in office. Now, I'm not bragging, but I've worked at this all my life. And when I see a gimme, I grab it. And this is a gimme. So how did I get it? God said that the Antichrist was going to come out of the north. He is. God said the three he's in Daniel were Jesus Christ. They are. And after all this stuff happens that I just said was going to go through, then the Antichrist will quickly form all the ragtag terrorists into one unit in the north of Israel, and he'll come charging south. Now I want you to remember this little part that goes right up through here. I want you to remember this is the Dead Sea over here. And I want you to remember that I'm going to show you two different words that are going to help you to understand why I'm saying this. As far as I'm concerned, this is a gimme. Well, who gave it to me? Well, God gave me the teaching that the Antichrist was coming out of Syria, that he wasn't coming out of Europe. I didn't just think that up, and it wasn't an interpretation. That's just what God said. That's just what I believed. But I never could figure out how can I get closer to when it's going to happen. You say, well, what's that a sign of? It's a sign that I want him to come soon. And that's not a sin. I want him to come soon. S-O-O-N. And the sooner, the better. You say, well, don't you want some more time to be a better person? Good Lord, I don't know if I'll ever be any better. I've always been a sinner. God's working on me right now to develop the attitude of a little child. Will I make it? I don't know. But I know that God wants me to develop the attitude of a little child. I know that for sure. And I know that he's the only one who can do it. So I don't know how much time I've got left here in this body, and I don't know when the rapture's going to occur. But I'll guarantee you that it's very close. And I think it is very, very likely that will occur the final battle of this age where the Antichrist comes south. I think the first battle will occur when Antichrist comes down. And when that battle starts, there'll be 1,332 days left in the tribulation period. So why am I doing this tonight? Because I love you. And because God loves me, and I never could have figured this out without the Lord. But I know it's soon. You say, well, can't you do better than that? No. But I'm telling you, we're finally there. Now, I want you to keep your eye on that, ISIS. Keep your eye on Jordan down here. Keep your eye on Jordan down here. And keep your eye on Egypt over here. Egypt's just across there on the Suez Canal. Now, after all these years here at this church, 40 years, would you believe I never looked up these two words, escape? I made an assumption. That's always where I get in trouble. I just assumed they were the same. But when that Jordanian pilot was killed, and King Jordan, the King of Jordan, King Abdullah, who I greatly admire, you may not like what I'm going to say, but he had the guts to go back over there and execute those two people. And I admire him for it. The Lord said that they brought him two swords. And the Lord said, it is enough. Many people did not like what Harry Truman did to Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And they've been complaining about it ever since. Well, that's two swords. And God gives us a right to defend ourselves. And let me tell you something. When we go over there and go to war, we're defending ourselves. I've read that whole Quran. I've almost finished it twice. And they say, it doesn't say in there you can burn a man in a cage. But my goodness, what's the difference? Well, I guess it is different. This bunch is worse than that. And you can kill your enemies. It's okay. And that's in the Quran. People that don't ever read it, they say, well, the Quran doesn't say that. It's like they say, well, we all know there are errors in the Bible. Who told you that? You heard it on television. You heard it on the news. You heard people say it. In news broadcast, well, we all know there are errors in the Bible. There is no error in the Bible. The unicorn that's in there, there's no such thing as a unicorn, but there's lots of animals down in Africa. What did you want them to translate it into? They didn't know what it was. So they called it a unicorn. Is that an error? No, that's not an error. You say, well, how do you know all that? God said to study yourself. Show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of the truth. That's why we have these classes up here. Before I died, that's what I wanted to have them for before I left here. Because we've got people in this church that have towers of knowledge, and the world's not going to end when I die, but I have a burden for this. Now, if you got your Bibles, well get them out if you don't, and if you need one, why, let somebody give you one, because this is something, some of you know this so well that you don't even have to have a Bible, because you've heard it a million times. But I never looked up these two words for escape. And I want to go through this because this is very important. Now, the Bible indicates that they that love the Lord love His appearing. When I was a teenager, I did not love His appearing. You say, well, you didn't love the Lord. That's right. I wanted Him to stay right where He was until I lived to be, I just wanted 70 years. I didn't want any more than that. But then when I got 70, I thought how nice it would be to have 80. But by the time I get to 90, if He hadn't come, I tell you what, I just, I can't shoot myself. But maybe if I jump off a cliff, nobody will know I committed suicide except the Lord. Okay. Daniel 11:41. He shall enter also into the glorious land. He is the Antichrist. Absolutely, positively. And He comes out of the north and He's the Syrian Antichrist. He comes out of Greater Syria. And I've covered that many times. You've got lots of charts on it. And I'm going to try from now until I die, and especially while we have these classes, to try and meticulously cover this. And as events happen, I'll say, now this could mean this and it could mean this, but the one overriding factor I'm going to try to emphasize is, folks, this is coming down. And I'm happy about it. Now I'm 82 and I love the Lord. Man, you don't know how much I love Him. And I can love Him a whole lot more, because the more these pains ache, the more I'm anxious to get there and get rid of them. You say, well, that's a bad reason, but I still got a carnal man. And he's going to get changed, although he doesn't think so. But these shall escape out of His hands. Now, the glorious land is definitely Israel. And many countries shall be overthrown. Like who? Like Saudi Arabia. Libya, once the Antichrist starts coming down, Libya will very quickly swear allegiance to the Antichrist when he makes gains in northern Israel, and which that is to the east of Egypt, to the west of Egypt, and to the south of Egypt is what is known as Ethiopia. It's not called that now. I'm trying to think of what the name is, but that's what's the northern extension of Ethiopia. And they are down and dirty, rotten countries that are filled with terrorists. And so they'll jump on his side. But when he gets down there, he knows what they're like. And he will put two stooges over them. You say, you don't know that. I know it's speculation. But there's some things that are said in there. I believe that's what's going to happen. He says, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. Okay, here's the word that's used for escape. In these things we're doing here on the nights in school, we're looking at words. We're trying to understand exactly what that word means to the Lord who gave it to Daniel to write. This is an interesting word. Shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the children of Ammon. That's who has already executed two terrorists. And the war is going to break out between the terrorists who aren't centralized hardcore, but you can hit them and punish them and finally make them realize, we can't let this continue because we need to get organized so we can attack Israel. That word escape is malete. What does it mean? To deliver oneself escape, flee, to shoot out of sparks. You ever been around some fireworks going off, but went off accidentally around you, and you got sparks flying all over the place? And this is going to be like escaping from the midst of a bunch of sparks. That's what's going to happen. Now let's look back down here at this thing. Over here is Israel. And it goes all the way down to the Gulf of Aqaba. And in the very southern section is the Negev wilderness. Look at that long border it has with Jordan. What's Jordan going to do? Why are they going to escape? They're going across the border. I walked all the way through that city. And I wish the Lord had shown me then, but I'm not complaining. But I took that to mean that that's no place to be. And every preacher I knew was teaching that, and I'm not knocking them. Some preacher went over there in the far distant past and told them that the Antichrist was that Israel was going to flee into the Negev. That's just not right. And finally they got off my back and they started teaching it. I walked all the way through that thing, all the way out the far end of it. Walked out on the Edom Plain in the Jordan River Valley. It's wide open. You say, well, the Israelis aren't going to let them over there. Oh, yes, they will. You go back and check out the ancestry of Edom. And you go back and check the Esau. You go back and check the ancestry of Moab and Ammon. Listen, Israel's going to welcome them. Because they're going to need all the help they can get down in that Negev to make the Antichrist so afraid, so frightened, that he won't attack until the very last part of the 1,335 days. And he'll leave them down there once they get down there for some 1,260 days. Now, all that stuff I just talked about in the Numbers, you can read that and the last chapter of Daniel. Now let's go over and take a look at Daniel 11. Let's go look at Daniel 11:42. But I'll read this part above to you because I want to get it on this tape. This is one of the most important things I've ever discovered. And the Lord has strictly laid it on my heart. At least tell them about it. As the Syrian Antichrist pushes south toward Jerusalem to push a fleeing Israel into the vast wilderness of the Negev, the Jordanians who currently occupy the territories of Edom and Moab and the children of Ammon will escape by fleeing into the Negev across the long border south of the Dead Sea where they... I've been down that thing many times. I don't know why that didn't dawn them. Well, I'll tell you why. I didn't look up these words. You say, well, is that your fault? I don't know. I just quit trying to figure all that stuff out. I just know that something led me to look at that. And I believe it was God. And when the time is right to let people know it's getting closer, I think he does let people understand more. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. By fleeing into the Negev along the long border south of the Dead Sea, where they will remain among Israelis for some 1,260 days. I urge you, I plead with you, to find any map from the time of Daniel's writings. Try to find one between 600, 700 B.C., somewhere in that area, that shows the borders of Edom, who was the brother of Jacob, of Isaac, I'm sorry, Moab and Ammon. You will find all three. I mean all of them. You put them all side by side. You will find all fit perfectly into the same area within Jordan's present borders. Is that an accident? I don't think so. And it's been my experience that when God puts something, says something, maybe before He comes, you'll be able to figure it out. Now look at the difference between these two words. Cooney, you always looking these words up, so check it out when you get home. He says, Daniel 11:42, He shall stretch forth His hand also upon the countries. He's going to get a bunch of them. And his caliphate in a short period of time will stretch all the way over and include Iran. This is going to be a whopper. And the land of Egypt shall not escape. Now look at the difference between these two words. You say, well, why is that important? That's God's inspired word. Escape is malate. Some call it malate. God doesn't care what you call it. To deliver himself, to deliver oneself, escape, flee, to shoot out of sparks. This is quite different. Escape means to hold as a fugitive, a survivor, a remnant. They're going to conquer Egypt. And they're going to stay down there, and he's going to put his capital in Cairo. You say, well, that's speculation on your part. Maybe. Maybe. But I don't think so. I do not expect the final Middle East war to begin until Obama leaves office. But I do believe it is very likely to begin at some point in time within 2 years after his departure. Could I be wrong? Sure. I've always known that. The timing is something that God just keeps to himself until he decides or doesn't decide to reveal some things that both preachers, theologians, and scientists didn't discover until God got good and ready for him to do it. And it has always given me great joy. I guess maybe it's the kind of a game I play with God. He always wins. But I want to know, Lord, could I get a little closer look at how close this is? I'm just telling you what I'm like. And over the years, I've gotten like a little child. I don't know zip. But he knows everything. I wasn't like that when I first came here. I thought I was learning all this stuff and God was real pleased, and God already knew it. I knew that. I don't feel that way anymore. He's my everlasting Father. And I love him. And anything I discover that makes me think he's coming sooner, I tell you the truth about it. I tell you, maybe, maybe not. I can't do anything else. Because if I'm not honest in teaching you the word, then I have to answer to God. And that's the greatest responsibility that I have ever had in my life. And I had no idea whatsoever when I came here what it was like to pastor. I was Peter Cottontail hopping down the bunny trail. And you really have to become like a little child. And that's the most difficult thing I've ever done in my life. And I'm still working on it. And God, that song, every time they sing that song, God's still working on me. I have to confess. He's still working on me. And I expect he's going to be working on me till the day I depart this body. But listen, when you come across something like this, it sets your heart on fire. You say, well, what happens? You know, it sets your heart on fire. You say, well, how much fire do you have in there? If I discover I'm wrong, the fire didn't go out. It just gets higher. I want to know why I was wrong and how I can correct what I believed. And that's the only way I've ever learned to operate with God. But I sure do hope he's coming soon. And I don't want to see Imogene. I want to see him. And when I get to heaven, I want a well done. And I want it to a well done because he did it. I know it. And I will glorify him forever. And this series I'm going to start tomorrow night. I'm just going to pick up where Chuck left. And I'm going to talk about unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. I'm going to talk about the church when I believe Jesus called it out, what John's role was, just practical everyday things, but I will try to make it as interesting as I can. And I'm going to probably teach you some things you already know. But I won't try to twist them and turn them around to make them more exciting. I'll just tell you the way it is. And then on the other hand, I'm going to, on the Thursday night, after I do that, then I'll talk about prophecy. I'll tell you where I think we are, what's happening. And I believe right now, we're about to see the intensification of the Red Horse Rider, the Black Horse Rider, and the Pale Horse Rider. It's going to intensify. It's already open. It's been open for some time. But what's happening over there now? We're about to have a slam bang knockdown drag out between the terrorists and the other Arabs who are so scared to death of them. That's what we're going to have. But it's going to end. Wait and see. Then what's going to happen? Well, during that period, you're going to be amazed at how many so-called Christian martyrs there are over there. You're going to see church, so-called Christian churches burned to the ground. You're going to see a slaughter of believers. You're going to see bloodshed. How do I know that? Well, right after it tells you these Red Horse Riders and everything are intensifying, and they're doing it right now. That's the terrorist. That's the terrorist. And what are they doing to the believers? They're killing them and slaughtering them in droves. That's where we are. You say, well, what comes in the next seal that opens? What I've taught for 40 years. Earthquakes, pestilence, famine, all Hades breaks loose. And the last part of the tribulation period starts. And brother, by the time that seventh trumpet comes, you're going to be wanting to get out of here so bad, you'll be hiding under rocks. Maybe not. I really don't believe it's going to be as bad over here, but it's sure not going to be a picnic. I think this church is prepared for it. You've had good preaching in this church from the preachers in it. And you've had a good deacon here. You had a couple of good deacons in a row. And two of the best I've ever known. So you're ready for it. You say, well, you really believe it? Yeah, I do. I don't think it matters whether I die or not. I really mean that. And that's not false vanity. Because you're ready. I didn't prepare you. God did. And Leonard and Kenneth are perfectly capable of continuing to feed you. And you know what you've got? You've had a growing faith, a growing hope, and a growing love. And the devil will do everything he can to destroy this church. But all power in heaven and earth, all power in heaven and earth is given to the head of the church, Jesus. He's the foundation and he's the body of it. And if you learn to go to him and trust him and keep on trusting him and keep on trusting him, don't worry about dying. Just be concerned about whether you're an overcomer. You got the overcomer in you. Let him overcome even if they chop off your head. But I sure hope they don't chop yours off, Anna May. You got a pretty head. Michael, would you dismiss us?